Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We come your way on Sundays and Mondays as well. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. The program is streamed live at those times at richarddugan.com, and we then put the podcasts on the radio show's page at richarddugan.com, as well as up on SoundCloud and iTunes. Lots of opportunities, lots of different places that you can go. And I am very thankful to those who have sent notifications, specifically through SoundCloud, that they liked one program or another. And I hope that you'll continue to do that, because it's always good to know what people are listening to. We have a really interesting program today, and I think that you're going to enjoy it, not only because of what the folks here on the Central Coast have been through, but what folks have been through on a regular basis, living life and going through the things that we go through. And our guest today is a speaker, author, spiritual teacher, angel intuitive. She's a light worker, certified grief recovery specialist, and her website is her name. Put a .com after this. Michelle Bieber.com. That's MichelleLLEBEBER.com. And Michelle, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Richard. I'm happy to be here with you.
Now, you've written a number of children's books to help kids through difficult times. One in particular, and we'll start here. My Mommy is a Butterfly. It is an inspiring story about the power of love, and that love never dies. And this book is just about that aspect. It's one of those subjects that strangely enough, I actually enjoy talking about, because we're all going to do it. My father even said this to me at a very early age: nobody gets out of this world alive.
Right.
And then he said, so go ahead and eat, drink, and be merry in moderation.
Right.
But this is especially difficult for children. And I'm curious as to, is there a particular cutoff age where you would then be dealing with the adolescent versus, say, the adult? Because there are different ways of dealing with those different ages, right?
True. But I feel that the words in my book, anyone from child through adult can benefit from reading it. It's just a very heartfelt story about the love between a mother and daughter and how they remain connected through love. And it teaches children mainly how we are connected through the power of love. But that's something anyone of any age can learn. And that's what helped me to get through my own grief.
And I'm curious if we can talk a little bit about that, the grief that you went through, and the loss was what?
Well, actually, it started off when I was 17. My father died of a heart attack. So there, I had no siblings. There was my mom and I left on our own, and it was very frightening. And even though I was older than, you know, the children I'm looking to help in my book, it was still difficult. So I experienced that at a fairly young age. And then when I was about to turn 30, my mom died of a heart attack. And so they were both very sudden. And, you know, it's never easy whether you're dealing with a lingering illness or sudden, but it was hard. And it really did a number on my life. I mean, I think it took me many, many years that I really had not recovered from the grief. You know, it presented itself in depression and anger, and I just kind of made my life very difficult for many, many years. And then in 2003, I received what's known as an after-death communication, which is a spontaneous and instant communication from a loved one that is not done through the use of a medium. It's where you might see, hear, feel, or just know that your loved one is with you. And that happened in the form of my mom's picture falling out of the photo album I had been looking at. I went to put it away, and this picture dropped on the floor, and it was my mom looking back at me smiling. And I was just at like the lowest point in my life I could have been at. And it just, I got chills. I just knew it was her connecting with me. And then I went to put that picture in a frame, but I didn't have a frame available. So I had a poem about love in a frame. And I went to put the picture in that on top of the poem, ending with the word love. And as I went to put the picture in, the picture slipped down to the next line, which said, "When we believe." And I got chills again, and I just thought, I know this is real. Mm. And I've talked with other people that have had similar things happen where they just knew that their loved one was connecting with them.
Do you find that, and I'm going to use it in this context, that we in the West have an inadequate or even distorted view of death and dying, of transitioning?
Very much so. I think that, unfortunately, our society is geared that way, that to have very limiting beliefs. And I feel very blessed to have been opened up to this spirituality to know that we really do survive this physical world and that we always remain connected to our loved ones. We are more than our bodies. We are a soul that never dies. And that's how we remain connected with everyone we love.
You know, I had the great fortune over the last few years of flying out to Phoenix, where my parents live. They're in their mid-late 80s, mm-hmm. doing very well, I might add.
Good.
And actually helping to raise my their great-granddaughter and great-grandson from my oldest sister's daughter. And I got to actually meet that little boy, Jax, not too long ago over Easter 2018. And I have said this on this program many, many times. They are not parents to me anymore. They are just friends. They are people that I have great conversations with. And I find, too, that my parents, they don't correct me anymore like when I was a kid. I remember talking to my father when my mother was going through a difficult time while I was there. She was taking care of the little one, and she just looked worn out. And I turned to my dad as she's off in the other room taking care of the kid. I says, "Dad, you do know that you can say no. You and Mom don't have to do this. This is because it's wearing you out." And he just said, "I know, I know." And I remember talking with him later, and I said, "Well, maybe I should call one of my sisters, and I'm trying to offer assistance." He says, "No, don't. You will regret getting involved if you do." Well, I did not. Mm-hmm. I heeded his advice. But it's like because I've had the opportunity to be there with them in person, even though I've talked with them many, many times on the phone and even on Skype, I know one day that one or both of them will go. They will transition. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking that I've already been given everything that I could possibly want from them, and none of it material, all intangible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that there might be some tears, but there's just part of me that, I don't know, that accepts that particular reality. Is that what we're missing in our culture today? The unwillingness to accept the reality. Like in medicine, I heard this great line from a doctor. It was a TV doctor, unfortunately, but it was a doctor nonetheless. He says, "You have to understand, newbie, we're just stalling. That's all we're doing here in the hospital. All we're doing is stalling. Now, what he was referring to is all we're doing is stalling is death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one day, these people all are going to die. You and I are both going to die. I often wonder when medicine will come to the realization that there's got to be a time when you say, when? Enough is enough. Stop.
Right.
That kind of thing. But would you say that the problem is that we haven't come to grips with that? I mean, it is a reality. There is no immortality of the body.
Right. And that's what I think, unfortunately, we've all been conditioned to be, and rightfully so, but, you know, to be afraid of death because it means we don't live anymore. But we need to be taught more that we just won't be living in this physical world. And yes, that's sad, but this is so minute compared to what I believe is our true self, which is eternal, which is a spiritual, you know, we like to say heaven, a spiritual dimension that we never die in. And that when we're, what I've learned is that when we're there, we can still watch over our loved ones and we can even help them in some ways. We can guide them. That's what, you know, I just wish these things were taught. You know, all these amazing things that I've learned over the years now that would help comfort people, especially people in hospice. And I think some people are doing that now. You know, it's hard to look at. We're so conditioned. It's hard to look at it as death, like maybe to be celebrated. I know it sounds crazy, but to say, okay, I'm going home to my real home to be with my loved ones who have passed on before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll still be able to be a part of my loved ones on Earth's lives.
Yeah. I had a great experience not long ago where I went through a hypnosis session with a gentleman who subscribes to the life between lives concept. And mm-hmm. this therapy, it takes you through the last life that I lived anyway, right up to and including death. And then we began to see what was going on after I had left that particular body. And it was mm-hmm. fascinating that the learning continues even between the lives in regards to, for example, reincarnation, you know, coming back again if you choose to do so. And, you know, we hear the, and some would say, well, these are just platitudes, but, you know, it is true. We are spiritual beings having in a physical body, mm-hmm. you know, and having these experiences in this life. I don't believe this is an accident. It doesn't make a lot of sense that somebody went to all this trouble to make all this, and this is just an accident?
Right.
And what was it? Mm-hmm. I heard somebody said that they actually generated a computer algorithm to calculate the odds that this was an accident, this existence that we occupy. Mm-hmm. And I think it came down to, it didn't give any odds because it wasn't an accident. There was no way that it just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of beautiful experiences. I had a dear friend who my present wife and I, had come into our home. He'd lost the lease on the property across the street from us. So we said, well, why don't you move in with us? We've got an extra room until you get yourself situated. So we did. And he passed away in our home on October the 10th, 2003. And my wife and I were planning on going to Ireland in February of 2004. And this was going to be on her birthday. And we were over on an island off the west coast of Ireland. And the island was Inishmore. And we were in this area of these churches. And, of course, there they have these enormous gravestones and all this stuff. And I had this dream one night, but it was auditory. And all I heard was my friend's voice, the one who had passed away. Basically, mm-hmm. he said, don't say anything bad around Bridget. And I'm like, who's Bridget? You know, and I kind of, I let it go. So here we are on this island and we're walking through this cemetery and I'm over taking pictures of all kinds of stuff. My wife comes over and says, you need to come over here now. So I came over. She says, look down. And this was this massive rectangular tombstone. And on it, not only was it my wife's last name, but the first name was Bridget.
Wow.
At which I immediately put my hand over my mouth and I walked away.
Wow.
And I don't know what that auditory dream was all about. I thought it was really interesting that there we were in a place we loved being in Ireland, and this particular event occurred. Let me ask you about those kinds of experiences that we have. I'm looking at doing more programs on dreams and their influence on our lives. Talk to us a little bit about dreams, whether they be sleeping dreams or sometimes they're waking dreams where we get these impressions in our mind's eye, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right. I actually had a dream that is known as a visitation after I went to this spiritual retreat in 2008. I'd say maybe a month or two later, I had this very vivid dream of my mom. All I could see was her face, and she was reaching her hand out to me, and she was all in color, so lifelike, and just smiling. And it was just very loving. You know, it wasn't scary. And I just know I've learned that these vivid dreams are actually visitations from spirit, because when we go into that sleep stage is like when we enter what's called this astral plane and this other dimension where we can really connect with them. So dreams can be very powerful like that. But I have to say, when I woke up, I was terrified because it was so lifelike. And it scared me, but I was happy that, you know, afterward I calmed down because I thought, wow, I just know that was real. You know, I haven't had it since, but I've talked to many other people who say they've had similar experiences, and I let them know that that is, in fact, a visitation. It's not just a dream. Sometimes things are just dreams, things we are feeling from our subconscious, whether, you know, fears, worries, maybe even joyful things. But when it's so vivid like that, that it's, you wake up and you just know it was real, whether you were sound asleep, whether you were in that twilight where it's you just start to doze off or you're just starting to wake up, and it's so vivid like that, that's real.
This is an extraordinary conversation we're having, and I think that it's important for people to kind of dive into this. And they can go to your website, which is michellebieber.com, and find out more as well. You have another book, you have a number of books out, but another one that we're going to talk about when we come back from break has to do with the spirit world. And a particular, I'm not even sure what to call them, entity, if you will. And we'll find out more about that as we continue talking with Michelle Bieber here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. This is the program that brings you new paradigms for a new world, gives you ideas, concepts, all kinds of tools, hopefully, that will assist you in moving forward in your life. Today, we are moving through, probably for some, a difficult subject, because you've probably lost someone near and dear to you, whether it was whether it was human or animal for that matter. I mean, our relationships with animals is just unbelievably, we're unbelievably connected. Matter of fact, Michelle Bieber being my guest here on the program today, a lot of folks even refer to some of their animal friends as familiars, I think is one term that is used. I remember when we had a beautiful male Maine Coon cat. His name was Merlin. He passed away April of last year. And he had the right name, too, because every so often we couldn't find him anywhere in the house. We would search everywhere. All of a sudden, he shows up. He spent inordinate amounts of time with my wife when she was in 2001, when she was going through her bout with cancer and chemotherapy. It's been clear of it ever since. And there has been, and probably is to this day, though she hasn't really shared that with me, still a connection with him. To the extent that when he passed away on that Saturday in April, she was holding him and she was just sobbing, understandably so. And he came back. And then when he finally made the final disappearing act, so to speak, I told her, I said, "You do know that that last little thing there, that was his last magic trick, to leave and then come back." And that's the kind of animal he was. But he was not just a cat that we had around the house that we would feed and clean up after and cat box and the whole thing. He was a family member. And our animals become that in our homes, in spite of what I hear on a lot of these animal training programs that tell you that you don't want to do that. You don't want to, you know, let them get away with, you know, this, that, like what, you know, a human child would do, this, that, or the other thing. It's kind of hard not to, because they work their way into our hearts. And the phrase, if I'm correct, Michelle, is that they find us. We don't find them.
I believe that, yes.
And you have animals as well.
Yes, I have 3 cats and a dog. And I've actually been through the grief process of 3 cats already. Mm. And I do get signs from them. It's pretty amazing. When my first cat I ever had in my life, and she was just, we had such a deep bond of love between us. It was like a soulmate connection. I was devastated when I lost her in 2011 to cancer. And I told her before she passed, I said, "Pookie, I want you to show me your number is going to be 797. Because July 1997 was when I adopted her as a kitten. And I said, that's your main number to show me. And when I had to take her up to be euthanized, the end of that week, well, first something happened before. Oh, no, that was that night, too. The end of that week, I was driving into work, and this car went past. And it was a government plate, so it only had the 3 numbers on it. And it was 797.
Oh, wow.
And I could not believe. I went, "Oh, Pookie, that was good." And then, not long after that, this truck went past me. And I look over, and there's like a leaping panther or something on it. And I thought, wow, that's Pookie letting me know that she has, you know, jumped up. She's where she's supposed to be, and she's still connected to me. Mm. And then when I got home that night from work, because of what I had experienced like that, that I knew she understood and connected with me, I just sobbed. I came home, I laid on the bed, and I just sobbed. And then I felt something at the top of my head, like I thought something was crawling on me. And I felt my head, and there wasn't anything there. And it happened 2 more times. And I just had to think it was her, because when it got near the end there, she used to lay near the top of my head in the bed. So those were some experiences I've had with her energy.
Well, I want to talk now about an aspect that, you know, some people, they believe strongly just because they believe. It's not any great research and investigation they've done. They just believe in the fact that we not only, that angels are real, but there are guardian angels, and that we as individuals have our own set, shall we say, of angels who their job, so to speak, is to look after us as individuals. You have angels 247 and 248. I've got angels 5006 and 5007. I don't know if they're two or three or how many, but we have, the army of angels, so to speak, is just unlimited, and we have them there, and they're here for what reason?
They are here to take care of us, basically. I feel that God created the angels to help him look over humanity, to care for us, to guide us, to love us, and support us. It's just been amazing how I've connected with them, because I never would have thought I'd be going through anything like this. But I found out about angels. Well, let me just say, I started off as an agnostic. I was raised in a Jewish household, and we weren't real religious. And there wasn't much talk. Well, there wasn't any talk about angels. And, I just, as people died off, I kind of, you know, lost the traditions and the little that I did have. And I thought, I don't know what I believe anymore. You know, my parents were taken away from me. So, yeah, that was my attitude then. And I don't know. So after I had the after-death communication, and then I went to this spiritual retreat, and I learned from someone about angel numbers, and I found out how they communicated with us through numbers. So I started to acknowledge all the numbers I'd see on, you know, like repetitive number sequences on license plates and different things, phone numbers, and I would thank them because there are messages in each one, and I'd thank them, and I just developed a really strong bond with them. And then later I would hear words of comfort. And then I started to hear words that would become manuscripts for children's books. And I think it's because I just love them so much and believed that they showed me my soul's path to help children.
When we are in various, usually emotional states, and they can be the high or the low, I have a really hard time saying positive or negative, because I don't perceive emotions as either positive or negative. It's what we do with them that becomes positive or negative. But sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. But angels are there through it all. To comfort and support us? Is that the main task, if you will?
Well, we can ask them for help to do. I mean, in the case of a guardian angel, they do protect you. If you're in a life or death situation, they're able to protect you. But God gave us free will. So in any other case, they can't intervene unless we ask them to help us. So that's what I teach in my book, Angels, Angels Everywhere, for children, to ask your angels for help. When you're sad or you feel lonely or you're upset, to know that when they experience these different emotions, that they aren't alone, that they have a support system with them at all times, that it doesn't matter anything big or small, they can ask for help. And then in the case of the guardian angel, they come with us into this world They are assigned when we're born, and some of us have more than one. And it's their job to protect us, guide us, and love us throughout our life. And then when we're ready to go back home to heaven, they will accompany us back.
You have a, I think, a beautiful dedication in this book for the angels who have blessed my life in so many ways, especially Archangel Michael, whose love and guidance has led me to my life's purpose. I will be forever grateful. I know that one of the aspects of our lives that is so critical for us to express, and that is that aspect of gratitude. It is a vibration that when we are grateful, it goes out. And it's like it ripples in a pond, if you will, as the analogy goes. That does come back to us, but we don't do it for expectation. And I often find myself doing that, just even for the smallest little things. Just thank you. I say universe, thank you. It's my way for whatever it is that I felt grateful for. These angels, they've always been there and always will be there.
Yes. It's just a lot of us don't realize they are there. You know, if you were not, there's so many approaches to it. You know, there's religion, there's spirituality, you know, there's different perspectives you can come from. And then there's, of course, atheists who don't believe, and even angels will help atheists. They don't care. Maybe you don't believe, but if you ask them for help, they will. And even atheists have a guardian angel.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, it's just, anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I don't mean to interrupt you either. I find it interesting. I've actually had atheists on this program, and we have had some extraordinary conversations. And one of the things I find so fascinating is they may not believe that there is this, you know, a God, more anthropomorphized than anything else by our culture. But I find that they are very spiritual people. But I think that the most honest place to be is where you were, and that is as an agnostic who basically says, I don't know.
Well, but then I did end up knowing.
Well, sure. What I'm saying, there's a great phrase that goes, it is better to begin in doubt and end in certainty than to begin in certainty and end in doubt.
Mm.
And that's why I say agnosticism is a better place to start from than the get-go. And yet, let's take it back to the children. Children believe. They just have this inner knowing because they haven't been indoctrinated with the doctrine and the dogma and all of the other things that you and I as adults have been taught, so to speak. So they're just prime. I mean, they're out there, and they don't have any. They don't question it. They know
exactly.
It. They know it.
Yeah, they're very open-minded. And that's why I think I was given the words to go to children, because they'll get it.
Yeah. I'm finding it fascinating, too, the youth of our world, and in particular through a guest we had on some months ago who... He wrote a book about love and fear in the Middle East, and he would go there on a regular basis, probably still does, and he holds these interfaith gatherings. And the young people talk to him about where they're at and what's going on in their lives and so forth. And one of the things that he shared with me that they shared with him was that they want no part of their parents' Hatfields and McCoys squabbling that's going on over there. Mom and Dad, that's yours, not mine. You want to fight with them? Go right ahead, but I want no part of it. I want something different. And it seems to me like the youth around the world, especially when we had this situation that developed over these not feeling safe in schools, and this, I can't remember even the name of the movement now, which is still apparently going strong, is led by the youth. And I remember listening to one young man who was asked about politicians. Have any politicians endorsed you? And basically, he says that there have been some who have wanted to in exchange for, and we refuse. We don't want your endorsement because we don't want this movement undermined. We want to feel safe in our schools specifically. And it seems like the young people are beginning to, I can't think of any other phrase, rise up and say enough is enough. We want a different way of living because the way it's been going has not been fun for anybody, especially us as kids. I mean, I remember growing up as a kid, and I am sort of, kind of, in a way, thankful I'm an adult now in this time, because I don't know what I would have done. I mean, it was bad enough dealing with the bullies.
Mm-hmm. I think it may have something to do with, I don't know if you sound like you are aware of a lot of things that are going on now as far as the ascension and in spirituality, and that our planet and all of us are supposed to be ascending into a different vibration, into higher vibration.
Yeah.
And the kids that are coming in and the young adults now came in with this energy. So I think they are here now to help lift us up out of this lower energy that we're just immersed in.
Yeah, and I'm taking some lessons from them as well, but I'm also in a place in my own life where those individuals that I just really have a hard time with, I struggle with intellectually, let alone emotionally. I'm in a place now where, as hard, and I remember the first time I had to say this about one individual, it was, thank you, teacher, tough one to say about this individual, thank you, teacher, for teaching me how I do not want to behave.
That's what I say sometimes. I'll tell people, you know what, these other people are here to show us who we don't want to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I've grown a lot, you know, with the knowledge I've gotten. I've learned to be kinder, and, you know, it makes a big difference.
I know a lot of people look to the spirit world to get answers to what's going on in the world today. But every time I talk with someone who has that connection, they say, hey, you're not going to get those kinds of answers because that's not what they're there for. It's for you as an individual, or maybe for you and your spouse or your partner or your children, your family, et cetera, et cetera. Is that fairly accurate?
I'm not quite sure.
Well, a lot of people look to the spirit world to, so to speak, prophesy what's going to happen in the Middle East, or what's going to happen in Washington, or what's going to happen here or there.
Oh, like these, to psychics?
Something along those lines. Intuitives, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really the role or goal, if you will, or purpose of communicating with, say, angels. Angels are not here to give you the answers to the problems of the world.
No, but people do go to psychics to get guidance. I do myself. I've gotten some valuable insights how to move forward with things because they do connect to my spirit guides. And I've gotten amazing guidance. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if I didn't have the... Well, I keep saying guidance, but for lack of a better term, on how to move forward with each and every step I've taken to do what I'm doing. But yeah, that's why I'm glad, like you say, the kids, the young adults are taking things into their own hands, because we can't 100% know what's going to happen. And we all ask, we all want to understand what's happening, and that we want things to end happily. But, you know, the world can be crazy, and all we can do is just do the best with what we have and hope for the best and try to put as much positive energy out there, you know, by trying to be in the higher vibrations ourselves. We lift up all of humanity, and that's all we can really do.
Do you ever do readings in the bookstores?
Do I go to people who do readings?
Well, no, do you? No, I don't mean readings.
Do
psychic
I do
readings.
Them?
I'm saying, do you do, and let me rephrase that. Do you go to bookstores and read to an audience from your books?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
okay. I was
okay.
Thinking about psychic or medium readings. I have done just a few of those so mm-hmm. far. I haven't really gotten my schedule going. I hope to this year. But my books, well, the one is the, I only have the Angels one out right now. The other one, My Mommy is a Butterfly, that's going to help children with grief. That one will probably be out in July. And then I'm going full force on a big promotional campaign. But I have read the Angel book at a library event and a couple bookstores, and it's been very well received. Even three-year-olds can relate. They just stare at the pictures. And at the end, one little girl who was three came up to me and said, you know, sometimes I feel like the little boy in the story. And I said, well, you know, you can ask your angels for help now. And she said, yes, thank you. And I gave her a hug, and, you know, that's why I'm doing what I do. You know, it's just, there's no better feeling than helping somebody.
Speaking of the pictures, you have a great illustrator. Tell me about her and your connection with her.
Yes, she's amazing. Her name is Susan Shorter, and she was actually assigned to my projects by Balboa Press, who is the company that's publishing the book, and they are they're the self-publishing division of Hay House, which is the largest self-help publisher in the world, and I chose to go with them because of that. I like everything they produce, and they were just hopefully guided to connect me with Susan. And she did such a good job on the Angels book that I was able to get her again for My Mommy is a Butterfly. And everything is just looking so wonderful. She just knows how to capture emotions brilliantly.
And you've also won some awards with these books even recently, in the last few years.
Yes, the Angels book, oh gosh, I can't even remember everything now. I won, of course, I don't have anything in front of me, so I can't even remember right now. But yeah, I did win two awards, and then I think I was tied for a couple things, and then honorable mention. So that's very fulfilling, mm-hmm. you know, knowing that what I've done is being well received with not only the readers, but critics.
You've won the 2015 Purple Dragonfly Book Award, First Place Poetry, the Feathered Quill Book Award for 2017, First Place Best of Backlist. I'm not sure, that just must be the name of the company would have you. National Indie.
That was, well, this was pretty amazing, actually, because by backlist, it was any sort of book, not just, most of the ones I won, and sorry, I couldn't remember all of them, but most of the ones I won were for in the children's category. This was not just children's books. This was all books. And they told me it was pretty competitive, and I thought, wow. And I looked at like the other two finalists, and they were novelists. And I thought, my little book about angels won over novelists? this is crazy. But, you know, so that one's actually pretty special.
It is nice to receive some recognition from one's peers as well as otherwise that, yeah, it kind of confirms that you're doing the right thing. You're going down the right road, and people appreciate it. And again, you're writing these for kids, and I think that the kids need all the help they can get these days. Sometimes I just get this sense that the powers that be, it just seems like whether it's government or otherwise, they just seem to be more interested in holding on to their positions, both in terms of employment as well as their ideological positions, and preserving their rank and file, and they care about individuals who are going to be affected by the decisions that are made. Where in the world is the humanity in
exactly.
the decision making? And
yeah,
you're kind of putting that back into the
sequence.
I know
what you're saying.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
I mean, I kind of got tired about hearing the phrase, our children are our future. It's like, no, they're our present. They're here now. Don't, you know.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You know,
our children are our present.
I mean, if we don't take care of them now, there's a wonderful biblical passage that it's a double-edged sword, and you really have to think about it to get both edges of this sword. Train a child up in the way he shall go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. So if you're training children, how you're training them is the way they're going to be as an adult. The other side of that sword is, the other edge is, look at the adults and think about how they were trained and how they turned out.
Yeah, it's pretty sad for the most part.
It is. It really is. I mean, I even, with this one individual who I had to swallow my pride and call teacher, I even shared this with my mother. I said, you know, if I spoke to you, Mom, the way this guy speaks to everybody else, my cheeks would be red from being slapped constantly. I wasn't raised to talk to people that way. And
yeah, I agree. It just seems like society has gotten more rude. Like people, I don't understand when someone, I like hold a door or something and they don't say anything.
Yeah.
No one has any manners anymore. I don't know where this is coming from, but that's why, like you were saying, it's refreshing to see young adults that are spiritual and are trying to make things better.
Yeah.
And, you know, that gives me hope.
And I have to wonder, too, you'd probably have a better handle on this one than I would, but I would venture, too, that these young people and children who are stepping out and saying enough is enough are being flanked by the angels.
That is very probable. I think part of this whole ascension of energy is that maybe more of those guardian angels are just really lifting the kids up to be better humans.
Yeah. Let me ask you, and I'm going to ask this. I may have already asked you this question. You may have answered it another way, but what was your first experience with angels? You told us about your experiences with staying connected with your mother following her transitioning. But what about your experiences with angels?
Well, like I said, first it started with the numbers. And then at that same time, I also started collecting a lot of angel figurines. Mm-hmm. And I started putting them all over the house. And I think, like I say, I was just developing a really strong connection. And then about 10 years ago, I think I developed food allergies. And one night I was leaving work and I could feel my face swelling up. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm having an allergic reaction. I got to get to the hospital. And usually the traffic is just bumper to bumper because I'm here in LA. Mm-hmm. And I had like a straight shot beeline to the hospital. And about maybe two-thirds of the way there, I just started to get really scared. I almost had a panic attack. And I heard in my head, "We're getting you there as fast as we can." Mm. I heard it three times, and it helped calm me down. And I zipped into the emergency room, and they took me right in. And then I have to tell you, as I was laying there on the stretcher, a girl walked past me, and I saw the back of her sweatshirt had angel wings on it. And I was like, I knew it.
How many more signs do you need? So was this the sort of that time period? I mean, was there any real clue as to the fact that this was going to be the direction, for example, for this book, Angels Everywhere, and your focus on angels? Or was there another catalytic event that really told you that, okay, this is, they're real and I gotta do something about it?
Yes, what led to the book was actually sitting on that freeway in traffic and not moving, and I feel like my car is some sort of connecting rod because I've gotten a lot of manuscripts while I've been sitting in my car. And what happened was I was sitting in there and I heard in my head, angels everywhere, some are here and some are there. All they want to do is share their love with you. And then more words started coming. And so I keep a notepad in my car to write down the angel numbers. So I started jotting down all the words I was receiving. And by the time I got to work, I thought this would make a great book.
Mm.
And it was all in poetry. It was amazing.
And I've read it. And by the way, the combination of your words and Susan Short's illustrations, great combination, and that has been, of course, said many times. And I have only looked at the digital version. I can only imagine having the book in hand, just incredible. And I love vibrant colors. And I mean, I grew up watching the Warner Brothers cartoons, Bugs Bunny, and so forth. And and one of the reasons why I had so much fun learning computers is because that's what it looked like to me. It looked like a big cartoon screen, because everything is outlined in a black line, just like cartoon characters and trees and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it appealed to me greatly. I really enjoyed that. I'm not a real fan of some of the other formats of, shall we say, cartooning, if you will, or animation, because it doesn't have that same look, and I really enjoy that. I am fascinated by this and what you have brought to us as well. I'm also curious. I'd like to, if you don't mind, for a few moments, I would love to talk a little bit more about the other things that you do. I mean, yes, you're certainly an author, and you've done that. You're a spiritual teacher. Tell us a little bit about that aspect of your life. In what context do you spiritually teach?
Well, teaching about how we are connected to one consciousness and how the power of love that keeps us connected. I also know the general archangels and what they help with, and how to shield yourself from negative energy, asking for white light, and asking Archangel Michael to cut the cord of that negative energy. Oh gosh, there's so many things. Again, I can't remember everything, but learning about how crystals can help you, like rose quartz is good for self-love. If you really need to have more of that, you might want to get yourself a piece of rose quartz and hold on to that, and just, like you say, with gratitude, think about what you're grateful for, and know that you're worthy of good things, and, you know, lift your vibration. There's just so many aspects to it. It's a little bit about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. I know it's all encompassing in that regard. Tell me a little bit about your light work.
I was told by someone in a psychic reading that I was a light worker and that I was here to help children. And that, I believe, was before I got those words for the Angels book. And so, of course, then I looked it up. I thought, well, what is a light worker? And in a nutshell, it's those of us who have incarnated to be of service to others. So if you're strongly drawn to helping other people, you are probably a light worker. And it's those of us who are bringing God's love and light to the world to uplift them and comfort them and love them.
Tell me,
you know, whether we write or speak, teach, whatever we can do to help others.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about this can't be an easy job, being a grief recovery specialist. That's got to be a rather difficult task.
Yes, but you know what? It's something I enjoy doing, and I've seen the results of it, that I'm really able to help people. It just seems like those people are drawn to me, because I don't do it as a business right now, but I just, if I know someone has passed, you know, I'll go up to a person, or they're drawn to me, and we talk about it, and they share stories, and I comfort them, letting them know again about the power of love and how we're connected and how to be open to the signs. And sometimes they'll even say, you know what? I had a sign. I saw this or that, or I heard this, and I just knew it was them. And then so I can validate it for them that that was real. And it just changes your whole perspective. It's very healing.
And do we continue to tell those who have lost loved ones that they're not really gone? You know, the body might be gone, but the essence, the soul, the spirit, it's still with us.
I do. I mm-hmm. always offer these words of comfort, and I would say 95% of the time, they're well received. There's a 5%, like someone that I ride on this van to work every day. She lost her mother-in-law recently, and I said, well, you know, she is still with you and watching over you. And she said, oh, I don't believe in that. And I said, okay, I understand. Well, you know, I just said, well, it is real, and I gave her a hug, and that's all I can do. Most people are open to it, but people who are very religious, and I understand, you know, I respect that they're taught that once someone dies, they are in heaven, and you cannot contact them, and they cannot contact you. And to do so is wrong. I can't feel that way. I wasn't raised religiously, and I know what I've experienced, and I know how much it's comforted me. And, you know, I have to believe the way I believe.
And we all do. We all have to take mm-hmm. that position and believe what we believe. And at the same time, hopefully, we are also continuing to search, continuing to broaden our horizons, so to speak. That's the whole point of education in general, is as our parents would tell us, go to the library, read a book, and broaden your horizons.
mm-hmm.
And we need to do that spiritually as well, it seems to me.
Oh, yeah, there's so much to learn. I mean, I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg. I don't know everything by any means. I'm constantly learning something new, and I just soak it up like a sponge. It's just, you know, I love having my mind blown.
I hear you. I hear you. But then again, I thought you were the oracle. That's why we came to you.
Well, we each are in our own way. You know, everybody has something to share.
Mm-hmm.
No one is better than anyone else. No one knows everything. We're all here for a particular purpose. And I always tell people, if you follow your heart, you will learn what that is.
Yeah.
Do what you love.
That is that's very good advice. Do what you
and I've always loved to write.
Yeah.
And help people. So it's all coming together.
Well, couldn't agree with you more. It's something that we are all, again, we're all looking for answers, and we're trying to provide some of those answers here on this program through the guests that we have on, such as yourself. I encourage people to go to your website. And again, it is michellebieber.com. We will have a link to your site so people can get more information, and they can get a copy of your book. I think get both of those books in particular. Now, I'm curious about your other writings. What else can we look for or look forward to in the future?
Oh, I've got so much more coming. That's why I'm like, please let me get a publishing contract so I can, you know, not have to just continue to make my credit card companies happy. But when I wrote The Angels one, around that same time, I received the words for two other Angels manuscripts. And one is going to talk to kids about their guardian angel. Again, it's all poetry. And the other one is going to be about the angel numbers, teaching kids how the angels show us repetitive numbers like 111, 222, all of those to let us know, give us messages. So there'll be three angels books. And then I do have an angel in the My Mommy is a Butterfly book, because I'm not going to leave the angels out. Then I did just a fun book about my dog called Time with Blondie. Again, that's poetry. What else have I done? Oh, I took another grief training workshop last year, and that led to two more books to help with grief. Again, these are all children's books right now. I do plan to do something for adults, but I've been given so much for children that I just have to do those first. But one is where a little boy, his mom and him make a pact that she'll show him a pink rose after she's gone. And that's what happens. But it just turned into a beautiful story. And then a friend of mine recently lost a cat. And that inspired me to write one about the signs that the cat would give, because she started to see signs from him. And again, now these aren't poetry. These are actual stories. So I'm glad that they're mixing it up for me. I mean, I love the poetry, but everything is just, I know I'm probably biased, but I'm telling you, I'll look at some of this stuff and I'll go, I did that? Where did that come from?
I have to say that I have the same reaction even to some of the things that I have done. I was very privileged to produce the audiobook for a young children's storybook called Ghost Girl in Car Number 9. And the author's pen name was Calamity Jan. And I remember after producing it, I put the CDs into the player in the car, and I'm driving along, and I'm listening to this thing, and tears are coming to my eyes. It's like, wow, I can't believe how good this is. And this is not a prideful, I can't believe how good this is. This is an amazed, wow, this is cool. You know, and I mean, I would listen to this. I'm in my late 50s and I would listen to this. So I was, you know, it's very cool. Any possibilities of creating the audible versions of these children's books? I know they're not going to be real long, but, you know.
Maybe.
You know.
I mean, anything's on the possibility list. I'm open to whatever people out there want me to do. If they're turns out there's a demand for it, I'll certainly do it.
Well, we will have to talk after the program and discuss that a little bit, if that's
okay.
Something we want to do.
And you know what? I'll be happy to provide you with a signed copy of the Angels book.
Oh.
And then as soon as the other book is out, I will send you one of those as well.
Well, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. I want to thank you so much for sharing this story and your time with us here on the program. This is, I think, something that adults need as much as children. And I encourage parents to get a copy of these books for their kids and read it to them. I have to say that I, even though I may not read really well, I do my best, and I remember when I was married to my first wife, who was totally blind, I actually had a great deal of enjoyment in our, and this is the way I would phrase it, in our reading together. Yes, I was reading the book, but we were reading the book together. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's one of the ways, that's how we met each other, as a matter of fact. And so I have to say that it's an extraordinary experience. And so get a copy of these books and share them with your kids, your grandkids, and my parents' case, your great-grandkids. Mm-hmm. And go to michellebieber.com. As I said before, we are going to be linked to your website as well, so people will be able to go there, and also the interviews on our website as well as SoundCloud and iTunes. Before we let you go, if you should ever want to take that short little drive up to 101 to Santa Barbara, love to continue this conversation in studio.
Oh, I would love to do that.
And
thank you.
You're very welcome. And also, three final questions before we let you go. And again, my thanks to you for joining us here on the program. The first question is, who is Michelle Bieber?
A messenger of the angels.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
To comfort and entertain children, just to give them a better life, a happier life.
And I touched upon this at the front end of the program, but we didn't actually answer the question. What is your life's purpose?
Well, I just believe I'm here to touch the hearts of children and maybe adults with my words and hopefully through teaching, just to make a difference in people's lives.
Well, I can attest to the fact that you've done that here. You have definitely made a difference in my life, and I am very grateful for that, and again, for your being on our program today, and we do look forward to talking with you further.
And thank you so much, Richard. I really enjoyed hearing your stories, too.
Well, thank you. I'm Richard Duke, and this has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Just a reminder, michellebieber.com is the website for Angels, Angels Everywhere, as well as My Mommy is a Butterfly. We certainly encourage you to go to her website. Until next time, love, Talal.